In the spirit world, she has explored her past lives and told us that she had been a preacher in one incarnation. She mentioned that as I had been a priest in one of my lives, this demonstrates how the group soul sends out its emissaries to explore every facet of life. Judy loved to travel, and in her spirit life she now indulges that interest, combining it with offering help and support to those people in great need in ravaged countries. She told us that during her many lives on Earth she never felt she was able to do enough for other people, and is making up for it with her afterlife activities. Never one to hold back her thoughts, Judy went on to say that in her soul group situation they are also trying to help various communities in need, but that politicians the world over have the same idiotic mentality. She said the big changes that are coming in the world are not going to be brought about by politicians, because people themselves will need to get down and dirty, go back to grassroots, and politicians don't work that way. There will be a lot of confusion, but people will be guided from spirit on how to change their lives, and certain individuals are now being placed in key positions where they will be able to help and organize things when the changes come. It was a joy to be able to hold such a long conversation with Judy in spirit, especially on Valentine's Day. Afterward, on a day that seemed sunnier than normal, Val, Anne, and I had lunch in a lovely restaurant overlooking the river. The spirit contact was longer than usual for Val, and she expressed her amazement at the intensity of information that Judy had sent through. She had never heard about the fragmentation of the soul in such graphic detail, and it opened a whole new line of thought for her. Val is one of the finest mediums I have worked with, and it was indeed a pleasure to hear her speak about the information she received in this way. 40. Judy's funeral and beyond. Most spirits choose to stay around for their funeral after they leave the body. Whether it is to complete their life and say goodbye to loved ones or just to see who turns up on the day, it is a widespread practice. My spirit guides tell me it is a lot easier for souls to fully cross over after their funeral, as they have a sense of completion and are now ready to embark on the next stage of their life. Judy's funeral was one of the worst days of my life. Her family were too grief-stricken to speak and insisted that I do the oratory. The parish priest was away and the stand-in for the ceremony did not know Judy, and, even worse, stumbled over his words and had to keep referring to his notes to remember her name. This upset me further, but strangely enough it also gave me the strength to get through the ordeal. When I said that neither Judy nor I was religious, but held strong spiritual beliefs, the glare I received from the priest almost made me laugh. Ruth Phillips had given me a wonderful piece of prose for the oratory, which I was able to read without breaking down. Ruth saw Judy's spirit accompany the coffin as it was wheeled down to the altar by four ladies dressed in white. Judy then came to join me for the oratory, and linked her arm through mine, providing the extra strength I needed. What a blessing to have a wonderful medium and friend like Ruth at the funeral. There were so many things I wanted to speak to Judy about, and the contact with her through Val Hood was delightful, but far too brief for me. After being told in one of the sessions with John's group that I would be in contact with two or three mediums to get Judy's full story, I felt intuitively that Ezio De Angelis, one of Australia's best mediums, was the perfect choice. Ezio and I had worked together on radio and also in a couple of stage appearances, and I had seen firsthand his special abilities to contact spirits in the afterlife, and tap into several layers of information. Ezio and his wife, Michelle, had also asked me to launch their book, Postcards from the Other Side, one which contains some wonderful and moving stories from the afterlife. Once again, the session involved traveling, this time returning to the city of my birth to see Ezio, and I had plenty of time to anticipate another chat with Judy. When I arrived at his rooms, we both admitted we were full of nervous anticipation. Ezio had officially launched Afterlife and knew about my relationship with Judy, but had never met her. I shook my head in amazement when the first person to come through in our sitting identified himself as Ernie, my late father-in-law from my second marriage. Ernie told Ezio that he was acting as the gatekeeper on this occasion, and after sending his best wishes he ushered Judy through the veil that separates our two realities. His cheery words of support were a testimony to the fact that people in spirit do not hold grudges, as I had not communicated with him in any way since I split up with his daughter Carol in 1990. Without any prompting on my part, Judy's first words to Ezio were that she had crossed over easily after the funeral and has been round me as a guardian angel ever since. Judy revealed that my anguish and soul-searching that followed her passing were actually a part of my preparation to be able to write books about the afterlife. She had also been watching over my health and recently sent me a lot of healing from spirit after I had a melanoma excised from my shoulder. A good example of how our loved ones in the afterlife still concern themselves in our daily lives on Earth. Judy confirmed that my earlier full-time career roles as a radio and TV presenter were actually essential as training for the more important task now at hand. Judy referred to my past life research, which is an integral part of this book, of which Ezio was completely unaware. Judy confirmed that she, too, had played a key role in the past lives that we had shared. She referred to a life that we had had in France several hundred years ago, saying that her appearance then was very similar to what it had been in her last life, only she was much stockier. A year before meeting Judy in this life, I had been in France to report on the Cannes Film Festival in 1992, and, more important, had two past life experiences while I was there. The festival was like a garish circus and I couldn't wait to escape the madding crowds and go exploring. My first experience was in the mountain town of Tourette-sur-Loup in Provence, where I was shown a vision of myself working as a nun in the small church. When I went inside I felt very familiar with the church, although the layout did not feel quite right. I tuned in and was shown a vision of it before it was rebuilt after being destroyed in the religious wars. My vision showed that the original nave was in a completely different position to that of the present building. I was puzzled by this, but an expert from the local tourist office who had seen drawings of the old church confirmed it was true. In my vision I saw myself working in the gardens of the church, cultivating herbs and vegetables. My second experience occurred a week later in the medieval city of Grand in Brittany. My spirit guide came into my thoughts while I was traveling from Carcassonne to Paris by train, and told me to get off at the next stop, which I did with complete trust. As the train pulled into the next station I saw my unscheduled stop was Street Nazaire, a port town at the mouth of the Loire River. I got off the train, wondering what my next move would be and decided to get a taxi and asked the driver to take me to a seaside hotel. My French language skills were obviously lacking that day, and he deposited me outside a hotel on the docks area of the waterfront. I was bemused when I looked around, but, feeling there was a reason for all this, I booked into what turned out to be a fairly run-down hotel. It was hardly surprising that I was the only guest in what was a popular watering hole for the waterfront workers. But my trust in my guide paid off when I met the delightful French owners, who seemed to understand my rudimentary French. Over the next few days I was made very welcome, and they even asked me to eat with them in their kitchen, where I remember watching a Clint Eastwood western dubbed in French. It was a very unusual experience created by listening to and trusting my guide. I hired a car and was guided along strange roads, trusting the spirit messages I was being given. After a while I saw a signpost to the medieval city of Grand, which sounded too good to miss. I parked outside the walls and walked into the town center, where I had one of those amazing déjà vu experiences we only read about or see in films. I happily wandered around, feeling completely at home, being given a mind tour by my invisible guide. I went straight to the city center and the beautiful Street Aubin's Church, which my guide told me was the place where I had been married at around the time of the French Revolution. The church felt warm and inviting as I happily entered, and it felt good to know it had played a significant role in my past. Both encounters had a deep impact on me at the time, far greater than the Cannes Film Festival. In retrospect, covering this event as a freelance broadcaster was undoubtedly only the catalyst for my going to France that year. As it turned out, being led back to Tourette-sur-Loup and Grand for past life glimpses was ultimately a far more important experience. Judy unfortunately did not provide any details about the life we had shared in France, but instead referred to a connection we also had in biblical times. Before I could inquire about either of these lives, she was joined in spirit by Rob, a mutual acquaintance who suddenly popped in to say hello. Rob was a bit of a larrikin in his life, as Io described Rob's character to a T, and a few other details that cropped up during our session proved it was indeed the spirit of our friend. Unfortunately, Rob's arrival broke the concentration surrounding the past lives Judy and I had shared, and I will have to wait for another occasion to explore them in detail. After Rob reased out, Judy recalled that in the weeks leading up to her death, she was heavily medicated and feeling disconnected. She remembered experiencing breathing difficulties and a burning sensation in her lungs and showed Ezio where the original condition started. Once again, she was verifying everything that she was communicating, as Ezio, like Valhood, had no idea about her medical history. Judy showed him a vision of her straddling a fence just before she died, demonstrating that she had a foot in both worlds at that time. She described the grass as being the same shade of green on both sides of the fence, indicating that she was not ready to pass over at that time. As happens with many people in the last hours of their life, a group of souls started gathering around her, and Judy gradually realized it was time to go. One of those souls was that of a little boy, and Judy told us that he had died prematurely before she could give birth to him. Lying in her state of transition, she experienced a lot of remorse about losing him, which had happened many years before we met. While Judy said that she did not want to leave our relationship behind, especially as it took so long for us to reconnect, the presence of her unborn son made it a little easier for her to let go. As I write these words, I feel Judy's energy all around me, along with that of my guide M. They let me know that the father of the boy is also now in spirit, and he and Judy have resolved the karma that brought them together briefly. He was a very troubled man who had a drug problem that destroyed his life and ultimately caused his death. M tells me that he has been receiving a lot of help in the afterlife, but will have to go back to Earth to resolve his addiction in another life. Judy remembers looking around the congregation at her funeral service and noting that people had come from far and wide to bid farewell to her. When it was time to cross over after the funeral, a friendly man came to assure her to come across, "You won't regret it," and that was the moment she let go of her earthly connection. Judy told us that the man's name who put her at ease was Bill, and she identified him as one of my relatives. I knew immediately that she was referring to my father, who had passed over some 12 years prior to Judy. They had never met before this. Judy went on to say that she felt great sorrow at first for leaving, but then great euphoria at what was coming up for her. Confused at first about the man who had met her, she then looked at him and recognized part of me in him. Bill told Judy that he wanted to be there for her to do a favor for me. Judy said she realized Bill was there to meet her, because he knew what the big plan was. She later found out that Bill works as a kind of guide in the afterlife, helping certain people cross over to the other side. He performs what Judy describes as a meet and greet service wherever appropriate. Although most people are met by a relative or close friend, for a variety of reasons some souls have nobody to greet them, and this is where Bill and his fellow guides step in. He apparently also coordinates the meet and greet for all members of his extended soul group, which is why he was there for Judy. This was very interesting for me, as I had been told in a reading many years before meeting Judy that my father was working as a guide. I found this strange, given his lack of spiritual interest during his life. I had presumed that he must be working as a spirit guide and is an advanced soul, after all. Once I learned about his special guide duties for those spirits crossing over, it all made perfect sense. It was, in Ezio's words, another anchor thrown out to me from the afterlife. It was also interesting that Bill and Ernie, who got along well with each other on Earth, were now working together in spirit. When Judy crossed over, Bill organized a welcome home party for her, a table laden with seafood of all descriptions. Even though spirits do not need to eat or drink once they have settled back into the afterlife, it is customary to welcome a returning soul with some kind of celebration. As I was not to know that my father was a great lover of prawns and oysters in his last life, as indeed was Judy, so it was not surprising that he would create a seafood feast for her. Many familiar spirits were gathered at the welcome home party, helping her to adjust to her new surroundings. Judy described the event as happy and uplifting for her, despite feeling a little melancholy, knowing it would be a long time before she would once again be with family and friends from her last earth life. Judy let me know that my father will also be there to greet other members of my family, and one of his prime tasks will be to help them realize they are not dead. As I have felt that Bill did not believe in the afterlife when he passed, and this made him ideal for his current job. Judy described her special meter and greeter as putting her completely at ease, and she soon realized that it was not the end. After the celebration dinner, Bill took her to another part of the heaven world to visit Mary, an aunt who had passed over many years before. Bill suddenly joined in the conversation and mentioned he will give special attention to John when he crosses. When Ezio asked if I knew who John is, I knew immediately that Bill was speaking about his brother-in-law, who is now in a nursing home, gently drifting away with dementia. Bill and John were great mates, having both worked at the same bank and shared similar values. John supervised Bill's estate when he died, and now Bill will return the favor when he eventually welcomes home my mother's baby brother. Her sister, who is in the same nursing home, will also enjoy Bill's meet and greet service. M tells me Bill will also be there at the gate when I eventually transition, which is a comforting thought. My father was a very conservative man in life, an old-fashioned bank manager, who helped many people. He has apparently carried over that dignity to the afterlife as he goes about his guide duties. I was also gratified to learn that while we had never been as close as I would have liked, he is now a strong supporter of the work we are all doing to bring our two worlds closer together. At last I am able to feel a growing bond between us. To wrap up the story of her crossing over, Judy threw us another anchor when she brought up the name Ultimo, and showed Ezio a vision of this inner city Sydney neighborhood where we had lived together. Just before her passing, Judy and I had bought an investment property in Ultimo and I kept her informed as to how it was being renovated when she became too ill to leave her bed to see it for herself. It meant a lot to her at the time and she enjoyed hearing the stories about its refurbishment. There was a lot more to the story of the Ultimo property, which unfolded after she passed away, and once again Judy was sending me a special message confirming she knew about later events. 41. Healing past wounds. Many people believe that once we cross over to the afterlife we are magically cured of any health problems that may have plagued our physical body, and everything is suddenly wonderful. Looking at my own experience from my last life as Brian, the young soldier who died in the Great War, I recall being taken to a healing center, much like a hospital. Here I was nursed back to full health with several baths, one where I was surrounded by a soft, violet-colored light. Some form of healing is essential for everyone when we first cross over, as the spirit still bears the imprint of the life just lived, even though the physical body has been discarded. However, each afterlife experience is unique, and Judy tells a slightly different story of the events surrounding her crossing over into the world of spirit. Initially, she says she was a little bit scared, but Bill's kind words encouraged her. Drifting in and out of both worlds just before she passed also gave her a sense of confidence. When she finally crossed over, she was quickly able to leave her body behind, together with all its physical ailments. At first she expected to be taken to some kind of place similar to the hospital in which she died, but Bill just laughed as he told her that was not the way it was going to work for her. At this stage, she started to experience a great sense of warmth inside and then felt that her physical parts had been washed away fairly quickly. But there were other parts of her life experiences that proved much harder to clear, and these were dealt with at a later stage as part of her life review. Judy described these as soul scars that had been there for a long time. These scars proved to be the hardest to leave behind and involved imprints from past lives as well as the life she had just completed. At first, Judy thought that she had dealt with and completed her issues during this last incarnation, particularly as she and I had been able to connect for a short but deep and loving relationship. However, after her initial healing, she realized that certain scars in her spirit were profoundly embedded and were more intense than the physical problems that she had suffered. Any imprint that was left on her spirit from her physical ailments seemed to diminish pretty quickly, but imprints left from emotional scars earlier in life took longer to fade. Any emotional problems that we brush aside or bury deeply in our lives usually stay with us as an impression on our spirit energy, and need to be addressed and healed in the afterlife. Brian had been nursed back to health after his wartime horrors and described some loving souls who stood around his bed, sending him loving energy without saying a word. Judy spoke of several angelic beings who came to help her. One she described as bearded and appeared rather Jesus-like, adding that it wasn't actually Jesus, just to look alike. The angel told Judy all she had to do to heal herself was to wish it away. She no longer had to carry around all that stuff from her previous life. The angel emphasized the importance of accepting that in the world of spirit you are no longer the person you left behind. She then realized how simple it was. All she had to do was release her responsibility from any negative attachments so that she could move on unencumbered to the next stage of her new life. Healing is a matter of time, but it is sometimes also a matter of opportunity. 42. Judy's life review. When we have been through the healing process, the next step is usually a meeting with the Council of Elders, at which we are taken back through our previous life to review the events in a gentle and loving way. Each lifetime is part of a learning experience, and at the start of each new incarnation we agree to set a series of goals. Like a post-match sporting review with the coach, meeting the council is the time for an open and honest appraisal of our efforts. The number of counselors varies for each person, and Judy said three members greeted her in a very casual and laid-back outdoor setting. She had been accompanied by the spirit of her Aunt Mary, whom she had met again after the welcome home seafood dinner. Judy said she was feeling displaced after completing her healing, and Mary stepped in and virtually adopted her, together with Judy's spirit guide. The Jesus look-alike angel turned out to be her spirit guide, whom she referred to as Nathan. Aunt Mary and Nathan stood off to one side as Judy met with the council, but assured her they were there if she needed support. The elders chose to present themselves in white robes, and the leader of the group looked to Judy like an archetypal ancient philosopher, complete with long white beard. She found them to be very kind and helpful as she looked at her life in a series of flashbacks. While there were several unresolved emotional issues that still needed attention, overall they were pleased with the way she had lived her life. They also informed Judy that she would now be able to advance in the spirit world without having to return to Earth for another lifetime if she so chose. Judy was delighted at this news as she was feeling very world weary. The elders told Judy she would have many new duties allocated to her once she had completely healed and settled into her new surroundings. They also informed her there is the potential for her to be born into another world at some stage. Following her life review, Judy knew she could totally release herself from being responsible for this life any longer. There were still lessons to be embraced and she would be able to see this life in the context of all her past lives and finally understand the progression of her soul experiences. The one thread that linked all her lives was her soul family connections. She described this link as tentacles that went in many different directions, connecting with all the people she had been associated with through the ages. Judy mentioned a person who had caused her a lot of emotional grief in her last life, which had been a prime cause of the scars that had embedded themselves on her psyche. She discovered that he was linked to her soul group, and the relationship was in fact karmic, and needed to be played out in this emotional way for the benefit of both their souls. This realization came as something of a surprise to Judy after she was shown the evidence in her review. As Judy looked back over some of her past lives, she saw connections between us going back to Roman times, also around the times of the legendary King Arthur in Britain, as well as the life we shared in France in the Middle Ages. In at least one of these lives, Judy saw herself as a very fiery male warrior, with a feisty, protective demeanor that she had built up, and persisted through to her very last life on Earth. The fact that she was a warrior in a previous life came as a shock to Judy, as she believed that she never had it in her to do this. As Judy looked back over her previous lives, she felt a sense of discomfort as she once again saw some of the events in which she had participated. This proved to her that we can never really completely walk away from our past, as it shapes who we are today. For no apparent reason, Judy showed Ezio a vision of a national park in the suburb of Lane Cove in Sydney. She identified the park by name, which baffled me at the time. A few days later, it suddenly hit me like the proverbial ton of bricks. Judy's body was buried in the neighboring cemetery, which overlooks this national park. This was another anchor to verify the information she was providing. 43, our first meeting. By all accounts, Judy is a very active spirit, reflecting the energy she displayed in her last life. We were together in this lifetime for a period of only 4 years, but they were packed with many experiences, and we managed to fit a lot into such a short period of time. I was working in a freelance capacity as a broadcaster and lecturer in radio journalism, so fortunately we were able to spend a lot of time together. When I thought about it after she passed, I realized we spent as much time together in 4 years as most people in a relationship would in 10. Our meeting was obviously part of our destiny, arranged while we were still in spirit. We were seated 2 guests apart at a birthday dinner for Judy's friend, who had introduced us a couple of weeks beforehand. Judy suddenly turned and looked at me intensely, and our eyes locked. She later confided that at that moment she realized that she would spend the rest of her life with me. Her premonition turned out to be chillingly accurate. After our first date, I, too, realized this was not going to be just an affair of the heart. I was booked to travel to Europe a few weeks later, to link up with my daughter, and Judy suddenly decided that she would join us a few days after that in Barcelona. The three of us had some great adventures traveling through Spain, Portugal, France, and Italy. One memory etched in my mind was the night we arrived by train in Rome. We had no accommodation booked there, or anywhere else we visited, preferring to trust to fortune. We found a hotel through the rail station information desk and went to get a taxi. There were none in sight, so an elderly man with a handcart told us he would take our luggage to the hotel and we could follow behind. There are some dodgy characters around train stations in Europe, but we figured at his age we wouldn't have a problem. But without warning, this elderly porter took off like a rabbit, pulling his handcart with all of our luggage on board, heading off into the night. Not having a clue where we were heading, all we could do was run along behind him like a gaggle of geese. Fortunately, the hotel was only a few blocks away, and we arrived out of breath and laughing like a bunch of school kids. He looked at us like we were crazy, as this was obviously his normal modus operandi. As they say, when in Rome. When we returned home, Judy and I naturally started living together. There was never a dull moment in the next 4 years. We lived in 4 different houses and purchased 2 others together as investments, and were with each other virtually every day until she passed away. Even though I was working part-time and she was running a business from home, we also shared a love of the spiritual, and appeared as a team at several psychic events. 6 months before Judy passed, we started a spiritual radio program, Celestial Power, broadcasting each Sunday from her home. Afterward, I felt I had to move out of her house, which resonated with its memories of her last days, and headed for a beachside suburb where I set up my little studio. My son Matthew suggested it was time for a new name for the program, and came up with Radio Out There. The program is still on air today and is broadcast on the internet to a worldwide audience. It was a matter of course that Judy eventually came to me in a dream contact, proudly showing me the rose-covered cottage where she lived in the world of spirit. It was the kind of property we had often spoken about buying together in the mountains. 44, Working with Skeptics. As the session with Ezio progressed, Judy talked about having animals around her house in spirit, and expressed a love of nature, in what she calls the heaven world. This term for the afterlife was new to both Ezio and me, and the simplicity of it appealed.